Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Coulson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolte.
And you've been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives, presented to the public as a dramatic, hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you are all clear to know the truth. And we have many secrets for all your cats, so I hope they are listening as well.
I've discovered some secrets about my cats. It's not pleasant.
Top 10 things you didn't know about your cats, and one you did. Click here to find more.
No, my cat's been, while I'm gone, he goes out to the mailbox and gets my checks, takes them down to the bank and cashes them, disguised as me, you know?
Wow.
It's the old story.
So you have like one of those hairless Burmese mountain cats or whatever they're called?
No, he puts a bald cap on, you know, little tiny one.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Get some. I think got on like Amazon or something. I don't know.
I'm just picturing this cute little cat toddling into the bank now with a bald cap on. That's well, this week's episode. Holy shmoly! I don't know what to say. This blew me away. I am very excited to talk about this because there's so much going on. And then I watched it again the second time and I saw more stuff going on. And I'm like, now I have so many questions.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's full of questions that were deliberately not answered. I'm looking forward to trying to answer them and completely being wrong. It's what I do.
Okay, well, I know you've raised some questions here in our notes. I've raised some questions. Why don't we get into this? Why don't you tell everybody about the episode where we're going to try to answer questions about this week?
All right, on a very special episode of Westworld. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, entirely different network.
Yeah.
Less nudity in this one, unfortunately.
This was episode 14 from season 4. The Man Behind the S.H.I.E.L.D., which aired on Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2017.
And I was really afraid someone was going to get their heart cut out.
Sad. There was some love going on here. There was some emotion and some affection. I think we got a little
bit
of that.
Yes, it was burgeoning. Mm-hmm.
It was written by Matt Owens, directed by Wendy Stansler.
Hey, that's a familiar name. I think she's worked on some Arrow episodes, if I recall.
Is that where I've heard that? It's from Arrow, is it? Okay, all right.
I believe so.
All right, well, she did a stellar job on this episode, I'll tell you that. Very connected to the other episodes, which we can discuss. I'm feeling good about this little, I saw someone call it a pod. You know, the season has been divided up into three pods. You had the Ghost Rider pod, the LMD pod, and we don't really know what the next one is, do we?
The romantic Coulson and May pod. That's probably what it's going to be.
The Love Boat pod?
The Love Boat pod.
the Love Quinjet. That's what it is. It's going to be the Love Quinjet. And they have to go. You know who the bad guy is? Played by Charo, I think, is this season. So, all right, well. Do not arouse the wrath of the great and powerful superior. Do you presume to criticize the great superior? Pay no attention to the man behind the shield.
Wow.
I shall have you tied to a chair and beaten by my henchmen. You know, but hopefully Coulson and the rest of the team will come for you before any permanent damage has been done. Hopefully. That's what Jeffrey Mace is thinking right about now. Ivanov the superior holds him. He should, instead of just superior, he should go with his full name. It does sound very intimidating. I like that. But he's holding Mace until S.H.I.E.L.D. can track them down and He can finally take his revenge on Coulson, whom he believes is the center of all alien and human happenings on the planet. Yeah, it seems that some time ago, Coulson and May were on this mission in Russia to obtain an object. I don't really know what it was. And in the process, some guards were outwitted and outmatched by our flirty heroes. Mm-hmm. But since then, Ivanov's been plotting his revenge and planning to eliminate the impure threat. Luckily, Coulson has all the right people on his team to mount a rescue. Though Fitz is starting to feel a little guilty that some of this may be his fault. As the good guys storm the castle, or submarine, stronghold, mm-hmm. you know, they find Mace, but May is nowhere to be seen, unfortunately. So they retreat back to base, still one man, well, you know, one well-trained badass woman behind. Didn't get her. They just are one step behind of where May is mm-hmm. for the last, well, since Christmas, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man, poor May. Well, that's when Fitz and Simmons discover that they may not have brought back everyone they thought they did.
Uh-oh. All right. Well, we need to lock down the borders and keep those Inhumans out. I think that's really what we've got to do here, just to make everything safe.
Well, so. We might have to make a bunch of different walls within, because I think they're already here.
Mm.
Look, we just, you know, small round walls. Can we do that?
Yeah, small round walls? Sure.
Yeah, just around all the Inhumans, right?
Oh, I'm like, what's a round wall? It's kind of more like a window, I guess, or something. So, yes.
No, you know, like a cylindrical wall.
Cylindrical. There you go. Yep. Like a well.
There you go.
Well, now, after I watched this episode, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's, you know, so much good stuff going on here. And I was thinking that next week was going to be the penultimate episode for the LMD arc. But imagine my surprise when I was reading a story about how Jed Whedon is going to be writing and directing next week's episode over at comicbook.com here, I believe.
Yep. Yes.
And they said the upcoming episode, Self-Control, of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will serve as the big climax to the current LMD arc. Next week, big climax, LMD arc. How exactly are they going to solve this in an hour? Or, well, less than an hour, you know, 40 minutes. I'm blown away here. This is very shocking. So I thought they had, you know, two more episodes to go, and looks like they're going to wrap it up next week. So
To me, it just keeps ramping up. I mean, every episode, every mm-hmm. preceding episode or following episode, has had more added to it where I thought, oh my gosh, I mean, this is leading up to something huge, but well, they got a plan.
Yeah, obviously they do. So, yeah, big stakes on the table next week and, you know, some really exciting action and stuff like that. Maybe some big potatoes too, because we have.
That sounds good. I was thinking, yeah, maybe some Texas toast.
Texas toast. Excellent. All right. Well, Let's get into talking about the man behind the shield. I didn't really, you know, go into the title here too much, but obviously the man behind the shield, it's at least the way that it is written in all the press releases I've seen, it is a just a capitalized shield. It is not the S-H-I-E-L-D, right? It's not, doesn't have the periods in it and everything.
Oh, it's not the acronym.
Acronym, thank you.
Okay.
So they're just, you know, they're referring to the shield in that way. And, you know, it depending on how you want to look at the title, it can be referencing Coulson, which I think is really who it's talking about here. But it also could be talking about, it could be talking about Mace a little bit as well, but I tend to think that it's more Coulson. And if we're not talking about S.H.I.E.L.D., the organization, we could be talking about S.H.I.E.L.D., Coulson's, digital shield that he has that comes out of his hand or his arm.
Sure, sure. I noticed something else as I was pondering this. I was trying to think of who else it could be. I couldn't think of really anybody else other than kind of Mace, but the episode wasn't really about him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, well, in this episode, you notice that Coulson is both in the flashbacks and in present day, he's not the, I don't know how to put this, but like superhero. He has a team behind him always. He learned that back in Russia with May, and you know, that he didn't and probably couldn't have done it without her. And then here he has another team that he used as a shield, as he brought Daisy and whatever. So he kind of, and that's the only reason I could think of why it wouldn't be the capitalized anagram, that, or, you know, anagram. No, I said the acronym,
right?
Yeah.
Well, that's it. I mean, and that's what Ivanov says to him, that, you know, it's always, he hides. I mean, he's making it sound, he's belittling Coulson in the way that he talks about that. He hides behind these people. But,
right,
you know, as we've seen over four seasons here, these people are willing to put themselves into that position for Coulson. You know, it's a test of loyalty, really.
Yeah, well, and what I think he learned in this flashback, what Coulson learned in this flashback, was that's how you do it. That's what he does. That's what he's for. Coulson is put in the position of using a team to go in. He doesn't have superpowers. You know, Coulson's talented and he's smart and he's strategic, but he's not a superhero per se, as somebody with powers, and he's not inhuman or anything. So he uses his team as his hero powers, and he's really good at it. Like you said, they want to follow him.
And he has been, I mean, you know, as crazy as the superior's theory is, the conspiracy theory here, I mean, Phil really has been at the center of all of everything that's been going on. You know, he was there when Iron Man started and the birth of the Avengers, and, you know, he was there when Thor's hammer fell, and, you know, when Captain America came back and everything like that, birth of the Avengers, all the inhuman and crazy stuff that's been going on in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show. I mean, if you take it all the way back to however long ago this was, I would imagine this took place at some point prior to Iron Man, right? I think this Russia mission was probably prior to Iron Man, just given his lack of expertise. And he was still kind of learning what was going on, though. I don't know. I guess it could be argued it could take place after that at some point. But I've got...
Well, they told you exactly when. It takes place some time ago.
Oh, of course. Well, that's very specific. That's like a few times ago, right?
Yeah, or in a while, which is, you know, what I tell my kids when they ask me to help them.
Oh, we always say 20 minutes. Everything's just always 20 minutes.
Everything's 20 minutes. That's good. I like
How
that.
Far are we from wherever? You know, it's 20 minutes. So
20 minutes.
You know, he was there for the 084 and everything like that, you know, which would have been a big deal, you know, in Russia. What, you know, again, like you said, we don't know what that device was, whatever it is. What was, I think, the biggest part of the episode, the thing that I know I'm really eager to talk about, was the fact that we find out at the end, there's some weird dialogue, right? So Simmons is like, she says they're having comm difficulties, and all of a sudden there's some weird cuts. People just kind of show up, and then they're back on the ship, and she's like, how did we really get here and get everybody together? And I'm like, this is a little awkward. There's something going on.
Something felt off. It felt off.
Yeah, it felt
off. Not just to them, but to me.
Right. It felt off in the editing that they put it together. And you're like, yeah, something does feel weird. What's going on? And we find out that, oh no, there's an LMD. Someone's disabled the detector, and then LMD was discovered, and you're like, oh no. And that's where I'm thinking they're going to end. But no, they have to take it up another notch, and it's like, oh no, and it's not just one LMD. It's four LMDs. It's the other four members of your team have just been replaced by LMDs. And I was like, Kerplots? Like, what? And then they, you know, we'll be right back after these messages. I'm like, you are... What? You're coming back? Like, there's still more, even though we just had the little tag with Coulson and May at the end. But what was your initial impression about this when found out they're LMDs? Like, for me, I was just like, no, you're mistaken.
Okay. Well, as I said, something felt very off. And I didn't go with my first thought that was obvious. And it was what they were trying to present with us, is that they were LMDs. And that could very well be. But then I thought, well, maybe that's not the case. Maybe it's Fitz and Simmons. Maybe they're the LMDs.
Okay.
You know, because we've seen LMDs are not necessarily that they're not necessarily aware, you know?
Yeah.
Now, how would they do that? I don't know, but if they captured them at some point and uploaded their consciousness into these already pre-prepared LMDs.
Yeah.
And then that would explain the time, mm-hmm. you know, difference that they were experiencing. My other thought was, wait a minute, maybe they're not the LMDs, but maybe what we're seeing here at the end is not reality. Maybe they're connected to the framework, and what they're seeing is Fitz and Simmons are being pumped into their head, but they're starting to put it together, just like we've seen May do. So maybe what we're seeing is not quite reality.
Wow, that's a really interesting way to look at it, too. Because they were talking about, you know, they've been talking about, well, we have to like get and explore the framework, right? Because they're trying to track down what the framework is. I had that thought, but I think my gut reaction right now is I'm taking everything on face value, which is weird. Yeah. If you've been listening to me on this show, I never take anything at face value. I'm very pessimistic about what they show me on the show, but I feel like that's what they want you to think. So I'm going with the face value. I'm going with the fact that we are in reality. Fitz and Simmons are in reality, you know, in the real world. They are back on they're back at the base I guess they're back at the base because we saw the plane land and everybody was starting to walk out of the plane. They were taking Jeffrey out. And somebody did disable the detector and the four other agents are LMDs, and it's really going to be up to Fitz and Simmons to solve the mystery next week.
Who would have disabled the detector?
Oh, I think it was Coulson.
I'm just asking.
No, I think it was I think it was Coulson, like the computer told her.
Well, but how would an LMD Coulson deactivate the detector if he was an LMD? I'm just wondering. I didn't even think about that until just now. But
I can't answer everything.
I'm just kind of like I said. I'm thinking out loud. That puts a little bit more weight to my theory that possibly Fitz and Simmons are the LMD or they're in the framework.
Right. May be that there are LMDs and. No, well, okay, here's the thing. I know why I'm thinking this, because I made a note for myself here. At the end of the episode, when Ada finds Ivanov in the rubble, you know, she says something along the lines of, you know, everything is proceeding as you have foreseen it. but she's like, you know, she says something like, we've taken the leaders of S.H.I.E.L.D. and soon we will have something else. I can't remember what she said.
Oh, that's true. That is true.
So,
you're right. That takes some stock out of my theory, but
right. But here's the other thing. So I watched the episode a second time, and it opens up with the Matrix fight between Daisy and Coulson. But the first time we see the Superior, he's wandering around this base, and there are some tanks, and there are boxes in the warehouse, and he's asking how much longer. And, like, you know, the first time through, you're just watching that, and it's just, okay, these characters are walking through this set, and they're talking. But then he gets off the elevator with his team, and there's a man in the back corner setting up a hose, and there's a giant tank, like a helium tank, like some kind of gas, and like a rubber hose, you know, in, that is, he's installing into the elevator. And then he goes in Ivanov goes in to meet with Radcliffe, and he interrupts Radcliffe in the framework, wakes him up, or gets Ada to wake him up. Radcliffe says the hardware is in place. Ada is on hand to ensure the transition goes smoothly. So all these things lead me to believe that they actually did replace those four with LMDs. There was a gas to knock, you know, there was gas to knock people out in different parts of the building. Definitely on the elevator. When you see Daisy and, sorry, when you see Mac and Coulson pulling Mace off the elevator at the end, right before they meet up with everybody at the loading dock for the submarine, you see this tank again in the back of the elevator. It's actually, I think it's the same setup as the earlier shot. I have screenshots I'm going to post. I've been behind posting our screenshots, so I'm probably going to throw up screenshots over the weekend of like the last like six episodes, just some interesting stuff. But I definitely do want to get these up before next week so people can look. So I believe what happens is at some point after Daisy defeats the Superior, after Coulson and Mac knock out the four guys fighting Mace and pick up Mace, I believe that everybody, like the base was gassed. Ada was there, right? She would be unaffected by this. Everybody gets knocked out. She goes around and substitutes the players. She could have even made imprints of their brain at that point, which is probably what they had to do. And why did they not do Fitz and Simmons? I don't know. We've talked about the fact that Ada is obviously following Radcliffe's directives, but maybe there's something more with her. Again, we don't know if she's going to help out and assist, or if she's really just a tool, like they were talking about in this episode.
Yeah. Yep. I am still leaning towards her saving the day here in the end, but that's, you know, there was some stuff in this that kind of pointed to that, just because she didn't necessarily do anything to harm anybody. They showed her looking in on Mace, but then they kind of cut away. So we don't know what happened after that.
That was weird. Like, she wanted to see what they were doing to him, but what? Right? That's a meaningful look. Like, that shot was meaningful, but we don't have all the information. We're missing the other side of the events. And I think what we're going to do is we'll probably get some flashbacks next episode of, well, we may start seeing the other side of what happened at the base. You know, that's either that or
that's
going to
be an flashbacks. Interesting way to kind of wrap it up.
Yeah.
Now I got a little bit confused at the end because they showed supposed fake Coulson, awakening the old LMD May.
Right.
And I got to thinking a couple weeks ago when they discovered Radcliffe was an LMD, mm-hmm. and they had Ada's head.
Right.
And they showed them burning stuff. And I guess I don't want to say I assumed, but it seemed presented that they were destroying all the LMDs that they had.
It was kind of hard to tell.
Right. And I looked to see if it was everybody, you know, and I couldn't even tell which head was which that was burning and what. And so I had presumed that they had burned the LMD May as well.
And
if they didn't, what is the purpose of not burning?
Okay.
Her?
And it's totally cool that you missed that, because I feel like they didn't really spent one line explaining all of that, and it went by really fast. And you were, like you said, you were probably trying to identify what you were seeing burning. So they burned Ada's head, and they had Radcliffe in there. May was put into a black body bag and was in on a gurney behind them. And they said, I believe it was Daisy who said something, because Coulson wasn't there, and he was sad because they didn't know where May was, and that they were keeping the body, the LMD May, because if they can't find the real May, that may be all they have left of May. So they didn't want, Coulson wouldn't let them destroy the body, because if they could never find the original May, he might actually just end up turning this other one back on. It was wow. Really heartbreaking.
You're absolutely right. I mean, I recall the moment of watching that, and I really was trying to identify those heads. So I clearly missed that.
Yeah, go back and check it out. There was, like I said, it's just like one line, but it's, you know, it was really telling about where Phil's heart was at that point. You know, that he thought he was moving forward. Obviously, we saw the beginning of the romantic roots that were put down, and then the relationship obviously was put on a very long hold because May was dating Andrew at that point, which, as we know, that she went on to marry, and they had a relationship for quite some time. So the fact that Coulson...
Until he turned into Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yes. You know, and so Coulson's been pining after her for quite a while, and the fact that he thought he was sort of rekindling that romance probably really freaked him out when he realized that she was not real. So,
oh,
yeah. All right. So we continue to get a little bit deeper into the what I'll call the dangers of technology argument in this episode. We've got the superior making all these, diatribes against, you know, enhancements, whether they're biomechanical or alien.
Anything that's not in his mind pure human.
Right, right. And again, it's like you said, it's what's in his mind. And you know, as Daisy points out, you know, we've moved on. You're just using the old ways or something like that. Which is kind of snotty, you know, you need to respect your elders there a little bit, I think. But, but you know, we see it from, you know, the antagonist, the villain's side. And he just seems, you know, kind of crazy with these crackpot theories and stuff like that. But then Mac on the good guy's side, he's still kind of railing against the use of LMDs. And I guess he goes a little more general. This week, he's really criticizing Fitz for making the framework and helping to create the LMDs and everything like that. And he tells Fitz that you really need to think about the implications of what you create. And it's I don't know. I personally feel Mac was too hard.
I do too. I think Mac is getting a little bit too emotionally irrational here. I think he's letting his emotions take over logical thinking. I don't know what his hatred is so much of these. I don't know if it just came about because of Ada and what she's done, or if there's something else that's happened.
Wait a second. But do we know, from the information we got the other week, do we know how his daughter died?
Well, didn't he say she was sick? I mean, she didn't last very long, right? She was only a few days old, wasn't she?
Was that it?
Or a few weeks or something like that?
I want to say it was more than a few days, but yeah, it wasn't, I mean, maybe in a couple months or something. But I'm wondering if there's something, there's a kernel in there that maybe
some kind of connection.
Yeah.
It could be. And because he is so far over, I mean, it's almost what the Watchdogs and the Superior think, you know. I mean, it's almost that far, but you know, Mac is a good guy, so you wonder what's making him think like this. Because in reality, nature and things that we experience on a daily basis are more moderate. You know, they're more in the middle of these extreme ways of thinking. Mm-hmm. And Simmons came and tried to explain that to Fitz in very very clearly, I thought, you know? And she's absolutely right. I mean,
everything she was really nice about
has
it.
Been created. Everything that's been created, everything that human beings have used their mind to invent and improve on and create is technology.
Yeah.
And you know, we continue to upgrade it from the very first rock that we used as a tool that finally, you know, ended up being a shotgun axe. That's technology. So you got to think of the implications of when you're creating a shotgun axe. What exactly are the common everyday uses?
And it does not use icers. I'm pretty sure he is.
No, it does not.
Really shotgunning and axing those people. So, but yeah, I mean, it's, you know, Fitz was trying to explain to him, you know, that these things are tools. I mean, it's, you know, it's, I felt like Fitz was, you know, trying to be a little smartass about it when he's talking about electricity and the hospitals and all that kind of stuff. But, you
really,
know.
Did you? Because I thought it was, I thought he was trying to use a rational argument, but I don't think that he was entirely convinced himself. And that's
possibly
why he couldn't follow through.
I felt he went, like, you know how sometimes when you just want to point out to somebody how crazy their argument sounds, so you go, you know, 180 degrees the other way, and
right.
I don't know. I felt it was, I think it would have been better. It's like, well, we use cars. Cars are great to get around, but you know what? If somebody steps out in front of one, you can kill them with it. You know, I mean, that's a little more moderate, I think, when you get into it. And that's the thing. It's, you know, trying to let's get out of the fringes on the, you know, on the far ends of the spectrum, and let's try to bring everything back to the middle. You know, there's
exactly,
it's a little this way or it's a little that way. It's all right. You know, I'm sure we can all kind of agree on that and stuff. So, but,
I was wondering what Mac was watching when he was experiencing the framework. Cause he was, you know, he plugged in that little virtual headset thing and he was watching something. I'm wondering what he did. We saw what Coulson was doing.
Yeah. Do you think
which was kind of that was a cool scene.
Yeah. Do you think he was, you know, looking at the same, you know, like he was wandering around in the lab or whatever?
Maybe. I mean, he was so freaked out by it. Not freaked out, I guess, but just it was like overwhelmingly real to him.
Yeah. Well, because he was talking about, like, you can keep your video games. Like, I don't want any part of this. You know, I think he mentioned like the Oculus Rift or something there. I mean, like, you know, with some kind of immersive thing. So
I'm just curious. It probably isn't important. I was just wondering
what Mac would see. Do you think there's any, is there any truth in what Mac had to say though?
Yes. I mean, there's truth in what everybody says, even the superior, but it's how you put that truth together with all of the facts and people and environments and situations that you're in. You know, you can take any kind of given situation and twist it into something that sounds sinister or wonderful, or, you know, so, I mean, there was some truth in it. And you absolutely should think about the implications of what you create. But on the other hand, you can't necessarily be responsible for what someone takes and twists your creations mm-hmm. into.
That, I mean, I totally agree with that. I mean, you know, what was the, I always kind of am remembered, or reminded of the, quote from, Robert Oppenheimer. When, you know, now, granted, they were creating a bomb. It wasn't that they were just trying to come up with an alternate source of energy or something like that. I mean, they knew they were making something that would kill people, but it was, you know, it was kind of a them or us sort of situation. I don't want to get into the implications of that. But he said, you know, I have become death, destroyer of worlds. You know, and he really hated the fact that he was involved in the Manhattan Project, I think.
Yeah, there was
later in his life, you know, so.
Well, I don't think he was the only one. I think there were a lot of people that not regretted it, but.
Well, Dr. Manhattan didn't like it. I know that. He was upset.
Yeah, but I mean, they just wished they weren't a part of something that was so deadly, destructive.
Right. But you know, there's all sorts of technology that people are working on today, and I'm sure a majority of people, they're working on stuff, that they're trying to save lives or something like whatever it is. It's a medical breakthrough that they're working on, and they are probably, thinking that, yep, this is what this is for, but, somebody else could come along and use that technology for really bad, bad stuff, whatever it is,
absolutely.
And there's always some way to pervert technology, and that's unfortunate that some of these big technological breakthroughs, they have very positive implications, but it cuts both ways. There's also a lot of risks, and you don't want to let the wrong people have these, which is why there's regulations and things like that that have to come in. Like they're doing with the Inhumans and stuff, setting up the Sokovia Accords. Great. So you set up all these rules and regulations and red tape and stuff, and that still doesn't necessarily stop, what's going on. There still are Inhumans out there, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Well, the thing about this, the argument, one last thing.
Oh, sure.
Conclude in like this, but the thing about these extreme arguments is that there is no – there's no solution. There's no winning scenario in extreme arguments. You can't eliminate all of the Inhumans. It's not going to happen. It's not possible.
Right.
You can't eliminate all technology. You can't, even if you're,
you can't uninvent the thinking, LMD.
Yeah, and even if you think about the implications of what you create, that won't necessarily prevent somebody from using it for something bad. So that's the thing about these extreme lines of thought. It's just – there's really no solution. It just keeps perpetuating itself, and that's – these people that have these goals of doing something like that, and especially like eliminating the LMDs, what they're doing is they're spending their life in an ugly way that they're – they claim they're trying to create a better world, and really what they're doing is they're spending their life making the world completely opposite of what they want. And that's the problem with – okay, I'm on my soapbox and getting a little preachy, but that's how I see the Superior and Max line of argument and the Watchdogs. And I still don't know what Radcliffe's ultimate goal is, so I don't know what he's aiming for. Right now, he seems to be on the right track, actually.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, actually, I think you hit on something really good, the fact that they've set up Mac and the Superior as kind of the antithesis of each other in this episode. They both have these very strong convictions across two different lines of technology, one for Inhumans, one for this technology and stuff, which we had seen and talked about in previous episodes here as well. They're just bringing it to a different, kind of to a conclusion here. I mean, there may be some more that they do with it, but I think, I don't know, again, how much time they're going to have to deal with this talk, and maybe Mac will, oh my God, what's going to happen when he finds out he's an LMD? Oh, jeez. Oh my gosh.
I didn't even think about that. That's a good thought.
I don't know what they're.
Everyone, I told you, Thee.
Yeah, this is horrible. All right, let's talk about the flashbacks a little bit more. So, how do you feel about? You talked a little bit about Coulson and his learning to work with a team and everything like that. But what else did you see about Coulson or May, I guess, at this point in this, let's call it an 8-year-old flashback or a 10-year-old flashback.
May's got some killer bangs. That's what I saw.
Oh my gosh. She was so cute with that hair. I mean,
it was kind of fun. That was a fun flashback. I like it.
She genuinely seemed perky.
Yeah.
The scene that stands out in my head is She's standing by the guard shack, and Coulson starts to walk in. She says, "Car," and he's like, "Ugh." And so he walks back to the car, and she gives him this like kind of side smile, and kind of like just kind of bops around the front of the car. She's got a really cool smile on her face, and she's just got a nice kick in her step. Right, the weight of the world has not taken her down. You know, she hasn't seen all of the bad things that Melinda will see in the upcoming years and everything like that. It was a really refreshing take on the character, I thought.
Yeah, me too. And you can tell this was obviously before, what is it, Bahrain? Is that where it was?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you could see what she was like. And Coulson knew her then, so of course that's why he has such a connection to her. But I have seen some people and talked to some people that thought the portrayal of Coulson in the flashbacks was a little, I don't know, wimpy, was a little un-Coulson-like. And I actually disagree. I thought it was a really good portrayal of Coulson in his early days and how he was really learning to be who he is now, trusting and relying on a team. And, you know, he still had that ability to sweet talk his way in situations. And he was smart for sure,
uh-huh.
but he didn't have the experience
I think,
that he has now, but yep. He learned from the experience.
I think that's what people are seeing. He doesn't have the experience. Even when we see him in Iron Man, go back and look at that again. He really has no idea what he's doing. You know, he's trying to kind of figure out, you know, this, they, well, first off, there's the whole thing is they haven't really called it S.H.I.E.L.D. yet. They're just calling it by the full name. And he's trying to, he's trying to talk to Pepper and Tony and stuff like that. And it's not really working out for him. But, you know, here, like you said, he hasn't had all these experiences yet. He's quite a chatterbox. He talks a lot more than we've heard him talk in the series, though it seemed very nervous talk. He dropped the tool when he was working on the safe. I thought that a lot of his chatter when he was talking to the SVR agents outside, while it's funny and it was within Coulson's character, it was that kind of nervous talk where he just doesn't know when to shut up. And of course the Russian points out that you Americans talk all the time. But we get to find out these other cool things about him. Like May, you know, tells him that he's got this horrible tell where his eyes dart all over. And he's like, "I always make eye contact." And then you see his eye kind of like twitch to the side. And she's like, get some sunglasses. So of course, when we see him in Iron Man and stuff, you know, he looks like a Secret Service agent with the sunglasses and the earpiece and everything. He obviously has a better tool to open up doors in Iron Man. They've got that little bomb that they use to unlock doors rather than this, you know, this little laser device or whatever it is they're trying to use that takes a while. So, you know, there's these great little building blocks I think they put in this flashback to show where the character has gone and where the character was going to go. And we can compare that to where we see him in the present day.
And I also thought it was interesting that this flashback explained where Ivanov came from. And yet you didn't really see Ivanov in the flashback. And I thought that was a really nice way to depict how Coulson feels about him, you know, after he's explaining it to him, and how he is, how that is Coulson right there. He has done so many things to save the world and to save people.
Yeah.
And he's really accomplished a lot, and he just doesn't have time for somebody that has this kind of agenda, because as I said before, it's a pointless agenda
with
no solution to it. So I really liked how the flashbacks connected everything in this episode and made that cool bridge between, you know, the Iron Man Coulson and Coulson where we see him today. And it's just, I thought it was a really, really great addition to the Coulson timeline.
So you brought up Ivanov. So when Coulson goes outside to talk to the four agents, there's the one guy he's talking to, and there's a guard that stands behind him. There's another guard that kind of is off to the front, but he's bald, and there's a guy that's pacing around in back guarding. If you look really closely, that's Ivanov. And then also sure. When they put the bag over his head and throw him in the van, the guy that closes the door to the van, we do a little smash jump cut into him, towards him, not really like super close, but that's definitely Ivanov.
It is, but it's like, but he's not important. You know, he doesn't, it's not he's like just a background
right,
guy.
Exactly.
He's,
he doesn't say anything.
Right. Perfect.
So my confusion, and again, maybe it's not really, it probably does not matter at all. But so Ivanov is one of these SVR agents. For those of you that are not familiar with the SVR, basically it's Russian Foreign Intelligence. It's like their CIA or their FBI, I mean. But nowadays, in the present, he's this rich billionaire guy who's been financing the watchdogs. So he's got all this money. Now, he made some money, and then he purchased this mine because Daisy says that this belongs to him, the mine that they go back to. Ivanov also says that his father worked an oil drill. Now, this was a, some kind of mine, probably an oil mine. I don't know. And they unearthed an 084 inside of it, which S.H.I.E.L.D. came and took. We don't know what the 084 was. Probably is completely unimportant to the story. But I'm just kind of trying to figure out how this guy goes from being this foreign intelligence officer to becoming a billionaire and, devoting his life to tracking down and, eliminating Coulson and the alien threat. Because if all he did was Coulson got his friends killed because Coulson took the 084 and they were unable to bring it back, I can see having a vendetta against Coulson, we've really, as he found out more about Coulson, then he found out about the aliens and stuff like this and the Inhumans, and then he wanted to eliminate all that, or is there something else going on? I don't know. I mean, obviously, the guy's off his rocker a little bit too, so.
Well, yeah. I mean, he was just this guy who felt like the scenario that happened in the flashbacks that took away his comrades was all Coulson's fault, and he let it consume him.
Yeah.
He let it consume him. He didn't face life and deal with his tragedies. He instead used them to fuel this hate and this anger. And then he focused it on one man who he blamed it all on, who clearly it's not all Coulson's fault.
And like you said, Coulson doesn't even really remember this guy. Like, what a harsh takedown. It's like, this guy has gone through all this trouble and he's, funded this terrorist organization, and all you give him is like, man, I don't even remember you. Like, cool origin story, bro, but I don't even know you from Adam. And it's like, if you really wanted to piss off the guy, that was a great way to go about doing it. So
it was, but it also really put it in perspective.
Oh yeah,
for him, I'm like, man.
Well, it's interesting, because we've been talking about this, and it's like we've kind of built this character up, and like, who is this mysterious superior? And it's like, this is what the guy is. I feel like, and we've done this with a couple different things. It's like the clairvoyant in season one. It was like, who's the clairvoyant? And then, oh no, it's just John Garrett. And I'm like, there's got to be more. You built it up so much, but that's the thing. These characters build up these realities in their heads, and real life is not as exciting as the fiction that they've created. I think that's what they're showing.
I've seen people criticize that, but I actually think that's more realistic than, creating this supernatural bad guy that you just can't kill or destroy.
Right.
It's like the same way he killed John Garrett in the end.
Yeah.
But he just came in and he thought he was all powerful and big again, and Coulson just comes and disintegrates the guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect.
So now you made a note here about, you wanted to talk a little bit about the superior's conversation with Ada.
Well, I just wanted to mention this in as another little piece of evidence in my toolbox that I am using to speculate that Ada is going to end up helping out here. As he was talking to – as a superior was talking to Ada and telling her that even filth has a purpose, and he's referring to her. Love how she called back
on
that later.
Actually, he was referring to the scum as – Mace as the scum and filth. And
Right.
He was talking about Mace, but as he strokes her face, he's reminding her that he doesn't like her either.
Right. Well, and I think he –
very dual
considers there. That the same thing. And I think that's how she took it.
Yeah. Definitely she did.
But did you notice how she was stroking the necklace? The necklace that she got last week from Radcliffe's former girlfriend, Agnes, right?
Yeah.
And
yes, I noticed that.
I still think there's something in there that she is – becoming more self-aware. So that I mentioned earlier how she's looking in on Mace when he's being beat up, and this where she's stroking the necklace, and even at the end where she tells him, you know, even filth has a purpose, the fact that she said that to him, I don't know that she said it in him as revenge, like not revenge, but, you know, to, I don't know, you know, the purpose of her saying it, I don't know, was necessarily...
Well,
to be mean?
Well, it's interesting.
But almost for a sense of irony or something.
Right. So here's this tool that has been programmed to fake emotions and respond in certain ways. Yet she's learning. She uses a metaphor when she's talking to him earlier. She says, you know, stop playing with – or when you're done playing with your food, then we can move on. And he realizes it's a metaphor she's made. That's the first time she's done anything like that, right? So I think you're onto something here. I think her AI is growing, right? She's learning stuff from that. Well,
I would actually, just as my personal emotion, I would really like to see her become a part of the team. I would like to see her become an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Wow, that'd be kind of cool.
I would love that. I would really love that. I mean, and think about the storylines you could have with her and Mac.
Oh, and then Yo-Yo comes in and just like, Mac, will you let it go? Like, no, I'm never going to forget this Terminator here. Yeah. So, well, we got a post on our Facebook earlier today as we're recording here from the Platypus. Now, I think the Platypus actually started out tweeting us, but. Given the character limitation, they said I couldn't even wait till the end of the episode to tweet. Of course, stupid character limitation. So, guys, oh my god! I know Max locked on robot hate mode, but even he should understand the idea of a tool.
I'm with you.
And the Platypus just goes on about this. A lot of the things we already talked about here. And they end with, so here I am, 12 minutes into episode 14, and I'm dumbstruck at his inability to comprehend the simple idea of a tool in any medium/technology. And considering the recent show-by-show increase in his levels of paranoia, I'm scared the writers are either A, making way more out of this than they should, or B, they're dumbing Mac down. I hope not. I hope this pans out better than it currently seems to be. And then one of the other tweets was also... I bet they're in the framework, which is what you were thinking as well. And
see, I think it's a possibility.
There is a possibility. I'm not discounting that 100%, but a lot of the things in the episode do point to the fact that they are not in the framework. But again, we could have been in the framework all season. You know,
maybe this entire season is a dream of Bob Newhart's wife. That's what I think.
When she gets out of the shower.
Yeah.
After she killed Larry Hagman on I Dream of Jeannie. That's what it is. Yep.
Hey, this is like a good show. I'm excited.
Now, Brett tweeted us before the episode in relationship to stuff we talked about last week, saying any connection to the Winter Soldiers, meaning is the superior part of that program? So he's wondering if the Superior has something to do with the Winter Soldier program that was going on in Russia with Bucky.
Yeah, my guess is no.
Probably not.
Because I think that would go against his personal belief of purity.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
that would be an enhanced human. I mean,
right.
So that's my first gut reaction to that.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, and again, after watching this episode, we kind of got his origin story. I don't think, you know, there's not much more going on with this. He's probably not going to show up anymore after next week, if at all next week. And, you know, so, but
maybe
I like that.
She said he's not done. I
know.
I think they might make him into an LMD.
That would be weird. That would also be
upload
weird
his too. Consciousness.
Yeah.
You know,
I like that they, I like that people, you know, listening to this and just fans of the Marvel Universe, you know, nothing's off limits. Everybody's like, oh, well, but what about if we go back to this line that somebody said in Thor 2? And now given the fact that Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, said this and, you know, there's all these, because everything's connected, right? And Doctor Strange showed us this and it's just, it people get so creative and come up with these ideas that are probably way more complex than what a lot of the writers are thinking about, but it's pretty cool, so... All right. We got a few references, some interesting stuff I thought that was going on here. First thing was when Coulson's standing in front of the, I'm calling it like the seven board, right? It's the board that the crazy guy sets up with the strings and the pictures and the maps and everything. Like
seven board, okay.
Like John Doe
that,
did in seven, right? But the camera pulls back on Coulson. He's the only figure in the frame, and you just pull back, and he's standing in front of this giant board of stuff. Very, 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 very reminiscent of the shot from season one where Coulson's standing in front of the wall that with all the carvings and the alien language on it.
Oh.
So
I have a very cool mug of that.
Yes.
That was a gift.
I do.
I use that on a weekly basis.
I do not. But it's a cool mug nonetheless. I'm learning more Russian this season between all the shows that we do. Arrow's been spending a ton of time in Russia. And so this week I was, thank you, Google Translate. I was using the tools, for language translations to decipher what some of the signage was in Russia. We saw a box right at the opening when I talked about how the superior was walking through this area and we saw these canisters and boxes. Well, one of the boxes says fragile on it. So, again, that definitely lends credence to the fact that it could be an LMD inside. And then there were two different signs.
How fragile are LMDs really? Come on.
Well, before they're activated, you know, they're probably packed in peanuts, I'm guessing, you know. So. I don't know. So, but that's
okay,
a good
sorry,
question.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's a good question. So. This was really confusing me as I was trying to decipher these two mining signs, because there was the one sign out at the front gate where the guard stopped Coulson in the flashback. And then there is a second sign at the little building where Coulson goes in to where the safe is. And that sign changes. Okay, so the sign at the front gate, we only see in good shape in the flashback. In the present day, it's all sun bleached and damaged, and you know you can't really read what it says. The sign in the present day at the building says something different than the sign did in the past at the front gate. So this is what was confusing me. So the sign at the front gate says Burkov Mining Company, and the sign in the present day at the little building says Yushchaya Mining Company. Now, there is one shot where you do see the sign in the flashback when Coulson's talking to the SVR agents out front, and it does say Burkov Mining Company at that time. So sometime between the flashback and now, the mining company has been sold to somebody else. But it's not the Ivanov Mining Company or anything like that. But... you know, I mean,
maybe Yushchaya was the name of Ivanov's dog.
It could have been. It was, but it was confusing me because I was forgetting one was from the flashback and one was modern day. But I mean, they didn't have to do that. That's like extra set decoration they had to do. I don't know what it means. It's just like that extra level of detail. So who knows? I mentioned that Mac mentioned the Oculus Rift earlier. He also, when he came out of it, he also mentioned The Matrix and Brain Scan. Now, Brain Scan is not the same movie we talked about the other week. I was mentioning Brain Wave, I think it was. Brainstorm? One of those. Brain Scan is a horror film with the kid from Terminator 2, Ed Furlong.
No.
It's a horrible movie. Really, really bad.
Is this why I don't know it?
It's, it actually might be worse than Lawnmower Man. Just to put that out there. Lawnmower Man's not really good at all. Fitz mentions the SETI code. It's basically people can take part of this SETI code, which is search for extraterrestrial intelligence. You can opt into it and download a little packet of information, and your personal computer can be deciphering bits of information, and it's basically using people's computers all over the world to decipher stuff, so you don't have to have a big computer in one location. And what he's saying is that that's what Radcliffe's doing with the framework, except people aren't opting into it. He's just putting it out there on their devices. It's also kind of like what Batman did in The Dark Knight with the cell phone technology. He kind of took over everybody's phone and had them all like searching for the Joker and stuff like that.
Right.
In the submarine base, Simmons mentions that it's very much like a labyrinth, and Agent Davis jokes that he hopes they don't see the Goblin King, a.k.a. David Bowie, from the Jim Henson film The Labyrinth, which I thought the fact that Agent Davis was cool enough to take Labyrinth and make a Goblin King joke, I mean, I hope he doesn't die. Need to keep him around.
He didn't come back. Or is he?
We just didn't see him because he was there with them with Simmons when they saw the submarine go away, and then when Fitz joined up, he was in the background there. We just didn't see him like coming off the plane or something like that. So
okay.
I think it's okay. I think it's okay.
He's okay. All right, good.
And then we had Mac mention that Ivanov the Superior was very much like a lot of other Bond villains. Coulson wondered if they were going to run into any sharks with lasers, trapdoors, things like that. Coulson points out that Ivanov is just another red shirt. Oh,
that was the biggest insult I think he said to him.
Which could be taken two ways, of course, because, you know, a red shirt could, you know, be like a Russian guy. But also, I think he means Star Trek
term. That's what I think he means, yes.
And then Daisy mentions Animal Farm when Ivanov talks about how the butcher does not apologize to the animals that he slaughters, and she brings up Animal Farm there. So.
Ah, yes. George Orwell.
Yep. A lot of good
Very reading. Good high school reading, folks.
Yep. Required. So, well, however amazing and interesting this episode was, I am so excited for next week. But for now, that's all we've got for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. case files this week. So be sure to join us in 7 days, and we will talk about the end of the LMD storyline.
Yes, and I hope you guys enjoyed my wild speculation and crazy thoughts on this, and I can't wait to see what I can come up with next week. And if you enjoyed us talking about it, we would love to have some feedback on iTunes from you. Just please, I'm asking as nicely as I can. I promise I'm not an LMD. Go over to iTunes, just go to the little feedback section, type us up a short little paragraph so people can see what the show is all about, and they can join us and join in on the fun and talk about things like, you know, like the platypus does and Brett. So you can also contact us by email. shield@randomchatter.com is our email address, or go over to Twitter and tweet to us @agentspodcast, or visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/agentspodcast.
You can also check out the other shows that Josh and I host, including Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, which is actually off this week for Valentine's Day, and that'll return next week. All shows are available at randomchatter.com and through the iTunes Store and Stitcher for Android or iOS. And like Josh said, if you're enjoying the podcast, you know, tell people about us. If you want to do it on the iTunes page, that's cool. Or you can tell people about us in person. Tell your friends, family, neighbors, coworkers, etc. So, for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Level 7. This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.